your great love for us and how that love changes everything. Thank you, Father, for continuing to love us. Thank you for being motivated by love, God, and how there is no greater power than you. Thank you for encouraging us to love you, to love one another, and to go out and love other people, Father. That's what our job is, and we are thankful for that. And thank you, God, for so much more and just continuing to grow our hearts for you. Enlarge our hearts, God, and show us how to love you better, how to love you bigger, how to love one another bigger and better. And God, thank you for making it all available through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, someone back there, Jeannie, maybe put the lights on. Just set a simple switch on the wall there.
Well, Bob and Jeannie, welcome back from their worldwide tour. Next couple of weeks here, 7th May, believe it or not, that's next week, May 1st, tomorrow, right? And then we're meeting here again, Point Home Assembly, 10:30, then the 14th we're meeting here, 21st we're going to experiment with doing our first pickup of the year, to be confirmed a spot. No, we did not. It will either be a Presidio or a Hospitality Point. The two job choices. So we're always looking though, so if you have suggestions or recommendations, feel free to let us know. Lunch is on 110 in the middle of summer. Want to recognize Gabe Stewart, helping us with the AV and has been for a period of time. Any other celebrations, anniversaries, birthdays? Kathy, what's that?
Anniversary.
Yay! Only 44 years. 44 years, right?
Yep.
What people in this room are in 44? You were married before they were born. Congratulations. Yeah, we saw a lot of your postings and that sort of thing on Facebook. Anyone else got a special announcement? Birthday, anniversary, relative's birthday?
May 3rd is our actual anniversary.
What's that?
May 3rd is our.
Oh, May 3rd. Well, geez, that's coming up. That's this week. So, how many years will that be?
42.
42. Catching up with what my dad is. That's awesome. So welcome back, guys. I know you got some things on your heart you'd like to share. So, Gabe, start the recorder, please. And we're on our merry way. Bless your heart.
Great. Always great to be here with you all. We had a fantastic trip. We flew to Fort Lauderdale and took a ship from Fort Lauderdale. Went to a little island in the Bahamas. Then we went to Cartagena, Colombia, then through the Panama Canal. And then up the coast, Pacific coast, we hit Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Guatemala, several places in Mexico. And we were having such a great time. You eat so well, a lot of things to do, fun stuff, different cultures. But we missed you guys. Man, oh man, it was too long a trip. That was the downside of it. So, but we had some wonderful experiences. God taught us some things. We were able to meet with some people and bless some folks. And I'm going to let Jeannie kind of start us off here.
Okay. You wonder why they go on cruises. One of the reasons is we go to celebrate our anniversary. And we're just so thankful to have each other. And We also go as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, because everywhere we go is a new adventure, and especially one we're expecting God to teach us and to lead us to individuals that we can bless. So we did that. Every time we were at sea, we were part of a Bible study, so we got involved in a lot of people's lives there. There's an interdenominational minister that he was Anglican and a little dry, but you know, I think, and I kept asking God to forgive me because I was a little judgmental, but he brought us all together, and we all had the freedom to talk, and we were always able to bring it back to the goodness of God. And we developed relationships on this trip. A lot of times we ask God to show us people that we can just minister to and share the word. And it became relationships. We ate every night at a certain time, 5:30 at a table, number 84. And originally we requested a table for 6 to 8, because then you really get to mingle. And there's just four of us. And the couple that we were with, he was 83 and she was in her 60s. They were neighbors at one time in Tucson. Both of their spouses died. And they reconnected. And we really didn't have that much in common. They talked about themselves a lot. Finally, we invited them to the Sunday service and the Easter service. We even had Good Friday. While we were going through the Panama Canal, the flag was half-mast, and one of the crew members, a young man, said, "What is that?" And I go, "It's because they're recognizing Jesus Christ died." And, you know, of course, the timing today may not be correct, but what a blessing that people of the world is recognizing that. We went to a lot of churches that had He is Risen, which was very exciting. So one night, Stan says, he had been doing some Bible study online from this church in Hollister, California, and he said, "You know, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Yeah, we know that too. And then so it just really opened the door. And so I asked him, what do you know about speaking in tongues? And we told him about Bob's book. And the next night he goes, "Well, where's my book?" And then the next day he gave it to him, and the next day he read 50 pages and said, "I'm going to go through this whole thing and I'll go back and study it." And his book was a great source to help people. It seems like everyone wanted to know about speaking in tongues on this trip. There's a gal in the Bible study that was an intercessor in her church, but she never really spoken in tongues. So we brought her into our cabin, and we had her singing in tongues because she was more comfortable with that. And her grants, and the next day after we gave her a book, she gave me $10 and said, "I want to buy another one because my grandson-in-law, is graduating from Bible college, and he has a position with the church, but he has to be able to speak in tongues."
Oh, wow.
And I was talking to Kelly about that because I thought that's super usual. But a lot of these places they asked, when she was doing her youth ministry, they asked her if she was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, and that last night we went to a dinner dance for a couple that were part of our Fred Astaire dancing. They got married on the midway Thursday afternoon. And, you know, you wonder, we enjoyed the dancing and wondered, well, how are we, everything that we do, we should glorify God and it should be a witness. And we weren't sure if that really was. We were enjoying it. But this couple invited us. They were so honored for us to come to their wedding. And then we went to this dinner dance. And I was sitting next to a gal. And everyone, whenever you go somewhere at our age, they're saying, "Well, are you retired? What did you used to do?" And all these things. And so I told her that I used to be an accountant for a school. And they knew the director of the school. So they're instant. And then I told her, "But now I'm working full-time for our ministry," and I told her Acts Now Fellowship. She goes, "I knew the Holy Spirit was still working today," and things like that. You know, it was just an open door. And every time we said we were with Acts Now Fellowship, they got so excited. because we're living it. But another couple, there were probably 50% of the people on the ship were Canadian. So we met a lot of Canadians. We met another couple who, the wife was in our Bible study, and her husband wasn't interested. But we started hanging out and traveling with them, like we get a taxi together and figured it was safe with numbers. So Jerry came along, and he, you know, really enjoyed our fellowship. He was an agricultural engineer, had patents, so was very intellectual, but wasn't interested in anything to do with the church. But one day he saw Adeline's Speaking in Tongues book in the cabin, so he started reading it. He read the whole thing, just out of respect for meeting God, and that was really something. So at some point, his heart will be touched by it. But our whole lives are about relationships. You look at the manifestations, how much God wants our relationship. He said, you know, crawl into his arms 24/7, all these things, who he is. And if you'll turn to John 17:3, I think this really illustrates, and I think that's what God was teaching us, how big relationships are. And the greatest relationship we can have is with our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. John 17:3. Says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life. The Jared translation says, now this is life, this eternal life, that they will know you, that you alone are the God of truth, and he whom you have sent is Jesus the Messiah. Now, God wants us to know him, and that know is a intimate relationship. Now, today, when you get to know someone, you run into someone, you ask them, well, what do they do, things like that. You might look them up on Facebook, kind of see who their friends are, see who their interests are. Might even look, Google their name to see, you know, what they've done. Or you might be introduced through a family member or something, but you want to get to know them. And God told us in the manifestations how good he is, how compassionate he is. But his word tells us. That's how we get to know how good God is in that relationship. But it's an intimacy. He's our Father. And if we would just realize how big that is, then we wouldn't have problems. We wouldn't have financial problems. We wouldn't have problems with trust because we would go to him. He wants us to be totally dependent on him as we see little children. That's how big our lives are. And then to know Jesus Christ. And you know, eternal life, we look at that as a span of time. You know, it's just never ceasing, it's deathless, it's, if you look at the dictionary for eternal, what that means. Ageless, continuous, but it's also about a quality of life. That quality of life is getting to know God intimately, day after day, for the rest of your life and life. And that's what our lives are all about. Isn't that amazing? It's just fantastic. So, and then John 17:21, this is that real quick. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That we may be one. You know, the greatest thing in a marriage relationship is the one flesh. We become one. God wants us to become one with him and with his Son, Jesus Christ. How fabulous that is. Jesus made known the Father, we make known the Son. That's what our lives are all about. And we heard how much, you know, some of the things that God is. He is... I wrote down a bunch of things. To know him is to know that he has unconditional love. Probably that's one of the biggest things. I went through a whole thing that I won't go through right now, but I did want to share Proverbs 37:4 says, delight thyself in the Lord, he will give thee the desires of thine heart. this is something that God's telling us to do and what he will do. And I think this is really what our lives are all about. And I kind of broke this down. This is my amplified version. It says, I will be content, showing gladness, hilarity. That delight is, another word is hilarity. This bubbling, happy, joy, as well as demonstrating trust and commitment in the Lord. And the Lord, my Heavenly Father, is obliged and intends to bestow on me the wishes, requests, and longings of my heart, my inner life and passion. How amazing that is. God just wants us to be so passionate towards him, to recognize him in everything. Our life is God in Christ. And then what's he going to do? Maybe think about blessing us. No. Give us the passions, the desires of our heart. He's obligated to do that. So that's the luck we have. And it was a blessing to be able to go away and meet people. And the one couple that we ate with for dinner are coming next Sunday to fellowship. They're going to be in town. They won't come to our church. So, but there's nothing like the family of God. You guys are also very special to us. We're so thankful for your lives. Good to be home.
The one couple that we did some activities with, they were from Canada, and the engineer, agriculture engineer, and so we really bonded with them. And so when we got off the ship last Tuesday, we got home around 11:30, and we made arrangements, because the ship wasn't going to leave, and they were still on the ship going up to Vancouver, so the ship was going to leave later in the afternoon. So we made arrangements to go back and pick them up and show them a little bit about San Diego. And of course, the first place we took them to eat, yes.
Tortijas.
That would be a good place, too. And we took them to our home and everything. So relationships, exactly what Jeannie said, was the key to our trip. God was teaching us the importance of relationships. And you think about it, the whole story of life that God originated is about relationships, isn't it? What do you think God wanted to do? Why did God create this heaven and earth? Why did he create you and me? Just to show the angel something, or had, no, he wanted a relationship. And unfortunately, Adam kind of messed it up a little bit, but God's heart's desire was to have a relationship. And he did all he could through Christ to make that sweet relationship we have today. I was looking at Kenyon's book, In His Presence. E.W. Kenyon, a fantastic man of God, and he really communicates the greatness of having a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And I'd like to read some excerpts from here for you. And I think this really paints a picture. He's a very wonderful communicator who does a good job on this. Way back yonder in the garden, the first man lived in the presence of the Creator, Jehovah God. He had no sense of unfitness or need of fitness. He was a child who climbs up into his father's arms. Where did we hear that? The child has no sense of fear, no sense of need, for he belongs. And because he belongs, he takes his place, he takes liberties. But when the great blunder was made, and Adam, in a foolish moment, sold out his vast privileges and rights to an enemy, he was driven away from the presence, and a flaming sword was at the gateway to keep him out. That garden of desire, with its tree of life, was known to all the people, and for thousands of years until the flood came, and yet no one could get into the presence of God. Then Jehovah separated Abraham and cut the covenant with him, giving the promise of the Messiah to come through him. His descendants were also given a law and a priesthood, and they cut the covenant with Jehovah through the priest. God dwelt in their midst in the Holy of Holies. No one could approach him unless he was covered by a cloud of incense and had in his hand a basin of blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat. And that was only to be done once a year by the appointed priest. And we've talked about that, where that once a year the priest goes into the Holy of Holies. That was the only means of having a presence with God. Israel was a servant. The unapproachable presence was in the Holy of Holies. The heart of man was just as hungry after God as it had been the day that Adam was driven out of the garden. The heart hunger of man has given us all the religions of the old world, all the religions of the East. It has also given us all modern philosophical and metaphysical religions. Man's heart hunger is one of his most outstanding features, a very badge of human. But you mustn't think for a moment that the hunger is all on one side. God is child hungry and love hungry heart, created the universe, put in the center of it a world to be a home for his man. And he created man after his own image and likeness, and an eternal being. And you know how that man failed? All down through human history is the trail of man's hunger and of God's outreaching toward that spirit hungry man, until the man, Jesus, came. Jesus is the master stroke of love. It was God's intrusion into the senses realm where man began to live when driven from the garden. God unveiled himself to the senses of the Jewish nation. They had no spiritual appreciation because they were spiritually dead. Jesus, in his earth walk, revealed to the men of the senses who surrounded him a strange and phenomenal thing. He talked with God Almighty, the God of the Jews, with a sense of intimacy that they couldn't understand. And finally, he called their God his Father. To them, that was blasphemy, and they stoned him for it. They hounded him until finally they took him before Pontius Pilate and accused him, saying, "He makes God his Father. That's blasphemy, and he ought to die." Jesus paid the price of confessing God as his Father. Wow. If you want to look at Hebrews 4:15, he mentions Hebrews 4:15 and 16. Now, in Hebrews 4:16, he tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. That means to come boldly into the Holy of Holies, to come with freedom into the very presence of God. Now our hearts can understand Mark 15:38, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. Remember how that veil was rent and access was made available for everyone to the Holy of Holies. Now Jesus said, "I'm going to be the way into the presence of the Father." Men are going to be able to enter into his presence. Can't you see what that would mean in the prayer life? Here is the secret of prayer. We have utterly failed to grasp the significance of the heart hunger of the Father. He longs for our companionship. John 14:23 gives us an illustration. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Does your heart grasp it? Jesus said, "The Father and I will come and make our home with you." He is no longer in the Holy of Holies. The sin problem has been settled. Man has received eternal life, has become his very child. Now his great heart of love says, "I want you to come and make my home with you." Can you see what lies back of this? There has been a restored righteousness. Man has become righteous. He can stand in the Father's presence without the sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. And on the basis of this righteousness, man has fellowship. Isn't that awesome? Wow. This is the subject, or I'm sorry, the object, the heart reason for the entire redemptive program. Wow. You know, it's interesting. At one of the fellowships on board the ship, people were talking and sharing about how they feel about certain scriptures, and the issue of sin came up, and that we're all sinners, and you know, we all got to remember this, that when we come to God, we got to remember that we're sinners. And I said, wait a minute. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you're not a sinner. You have the righteousness of God. You come before God as His child. You have free access to Him. You're more than a conqueror. That didn't fit very well. Because it's totally different. Now, I think the point was we need to be humble and meek. And I understand that. But really, we've got to remember who we are in Christ. And not sell out that we're still sinners. Jesus Christ did away with that, didn't
he? Old man nature.
Yeah, that old man nature. Exactly. Exactly. So, Hebrews 13:15, have you still got your Bibles open here? And then we'll go to 1 Peter. Hebrews 13:15 makes us known, as we never did, the holy privilege of speech. Through Him, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of lips which make confession to His name. Now we can understand what it means to come into His presence. You come with your petitions. You come with your heartaches. You come with your burdens. And He partakes of the fruit of your lips. Oh, how priceless are your words to Him. The rent veil, the tender heart invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace, all means something to us now. We are coming in through the living way that Jesus opened up by His great sacrifice, by His victory over the adversary that made our new birth possible and our standing as sons a reality. Ours is a twofold priesthood. We are not only a holy priesthood, but we are a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2. 9 and 10. This is the picture in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is our public ministry. Whether it be as a layman or a preacher, we are showing forth in our daily walk, in our conversation, the fruits of this royal priesthood. You see, we belong to the throne. We belong to royalty. And we are showing forth His excellencies. We are advertising His love, His grace, His long-suffering. We are advertising eternal life, His very nature. We belong to royalty. Is it any wonder that we have access to the throne? Is it any wonder that we can come boldly to the throne of grace? We are walking up the new and living way. That's some great statements. You know, just recently, we recognized the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What did that make for us? What did that give us? A whole new lifestyle, didn't it? The results of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and obviously the giving of the gift of Holy Spirit, the new birth. All this gives us a whole new lifestyle, doesn't it? And so now, what are we going to do with this relationship? What are we going to, how are we going to interact with our Heavenly Father as children? And as in the one body of Christ, right? With the great love of God. So our challenge today is to walk by the Spirit. How can I walk by the Spirit? I'm having fellowship with God. Okay? How do I do that? You know, I wake up tomorrow's Monday. How can I have my fellowship with God? Because God and Christ in me, right? We have a relationship. We're a child of God. He's our Father. I want to talk to Him. So, what do we do? Now, obviously, we can walk by us. We can speak in tongues, that perfect prayer. We can give Him praise. We can talk with Him. We can listen to Him. And I trust in the next few months, we're going to be working some of these things in our fellowship about listening to God, hearing from the Father. Because this is life. I mean, were you going to continue to live the world lifestyle or the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father as His child? And it's a battle, isn't it? It's a struggle. So that's why we fellowship and work with each other, so that we can learn to walk greater with our Heavenly Father, that we can see the love of God more and more, and exercise that with each other more and more. So I want to exhort you as a family here, let's just have our prayers go up to the Heavenly Father so that He can teach us how we can walk greater with Him, how our fellowship with Him can be expanded and built upon. Okay? Pretty good thing to do, isn't it? Yeah. So, I expect some great things from our Heavenly Father. Some great signs, wonders, and miracles. We had a wonderful little prayer this morning, Mary Ruth and me and I. And God just said some wonderful things that we're excited about. And so let's look forward to seeing God do some great signs, wonders, and miracles, and we have sweet fellowship with Him. Okay? Okay. Well, God bless you, and we're sure blessed to be back.
All right. Very good. Well, we're going to obviously transition into something that we all enjoy doing. Have physical nourishment too. Need some spiritual nourishment. Physical nourishment. You guys have those horns planted? They're out in the front. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we'll just go ahead and leave those out there right now. But they'll be available to get them. One to share out there. Also, wanted to talk about a little bit about fellowship schedules. And Bob and Jeannie are still hosting a fellowship on Wednesday evenings. So Goldie is. On alternating Mondays, and will there be one then tomorrow?
We'll start up on the 22nd. We'll be with my father-in-law in San Francisco and a couple of other places.
Okay. I got you, 22nd on Mondays. We're doing a phone call-in teaching on Tuesday evenings, Living in the Realm of the Miraculous. So if you enjoy calling in, participating in something like that, I can get you a PDF syllabus of that particular seminar. As life would have it, we're just going to continue on with some various seminars. Maybe Ken, maybe Bob Carden, other people who have interesting things we can continue to learn and to grow with. So it's pretty convenient. Just call in and listen. I mean, we're even like to live. You can be in your recliner. You can be right there in your lazy pool. Man, what a great word of God just to keep us encouraged and built up and strengthened. All these resources that we have available to us. And so many things online, of course. Jan has a great website with a lot of teachings. We have a website, a new venture that we're taking on as well with some online activities. So we'll announce that as
in an appropriate time. And so I guess that's going to kind of wrap it up here for the morning. I'm going to pray. We're going to get the food set up and going that way. So Heavenly Father, thank you for just the joy of being able to be together, Father. Our hearts are open before you. God, you know us so much better than we know ourselves. Help us to really have a simple life. There's so many things, Father, distractions and other things that are going on with work and pressures of this and that, families and finances and just whatever those things may be, Father. We just want ease and grace in our lives. Thank you for the empowering strength of grace that you give to us, Father, that enables you to accomplish so many things in our lives. And thank you that our hearts are lighthearted, that we have a sense of humor, Father. We don't take ourselves too seriously all the time. That we just learn to let the burdens of our lives go. That we are slaying the giants of our lives, Father, day by day by day. And that it's not in our strength that we do that. But through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did such a perfect work on our behalf. So, thankful that we say that we have, believing like the grain of a mustard seed, that we can do abundance. And let's just leave it at that. So that you just work mightily in our lives and hearts, Father, to bring to pass those desires and those things that we delight in. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. God bless you guys.